Alrighty, welcome everybody to another episode of the Comic Chronicle podcast. I am your host, Society's Mutant slash Metahuman, Dakota Morgan, coming from Phoenix, Arizona. And fun fact, folks, is the guest I have with us today is one who I've told him about it, but I wouldn't be working in a film where I am without this guy, because I talked to him a couple years ago. He was my final inspiration to go out there and work in film, and now doing auditions, been assistant director, a writer, doing auditions like crazy. Hopefully I might get a callback today, or a confirmation today, but been an actor, doing all this stuff here, and pushing forward in the career thanks to the guest we have today, and you've heard his voice on, I don't know, how to bury the lead here. You've heard him in video games, you've heard him in a cartoon. Go ahead and introduce yourself, good man.
Well, that's a very sweet introduction. That's everyone likes to hear that kind of thing. My name's Cameron Bowen. I first interviewed with Dakota back in 2016 or 2017.
2017.
So during that time, So Young Justice, I don't know if the third season had been announced, but
no, it was still like top secret, or it was like something not happening as of yet.
Yeah, so you had asked me to come on to talk a little bit about that show, the second season, but you know that was back like 5-6 years before that I had done that show. So since then, we've ended a third season, which is pretty cool. I'm actually a big fan of that season, the third one.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, a bunch of video games and some on-camera work when I was a kid, and theater. Really just, you know, I'm a thespian.
Yeah, he's a thespian of the arts. He's everywhere. You know him from everything.
Whenever they'll just let me play pretend, and, you know, if they pay me, great, you know?
It helps being able to eat, but to folks out there who may not know, you play Robin in Season 2 and Season 3, Outsiders, and in the video game world, you played Red Hood, which happened, I think, a few months after we interviewed.
Yeah, so I wasn't able to talk to you about that last time?
No, you said you mentioned it like there's a video game, and I'm like, oh shit, what can it be? But like, I was so curious. And then like you said, oh, I'm Red Hood. I'm like, it makes sense.
Oh yeah, you know, I mean, DC is so cool to get into because not only because I was, you know, a big fan growing up, I think every kid wants to be Batman. Yeah. Also because, you know, if you get to play a character and people respond to it, they usually let you do it again, you know? Yeah. And so Robin's cool because I've played Robin, like, I don't know, like 8 times now. Because there's so many different Robins,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Obviously they're all different, and Red Hood was definitely like the closest to Batman I've ever gotten. And also, you know, completely different energy and different vocal because he's not really a superhero.
No, you know, anti-hero vigilante. I mean, Red Hood uses guns and kills people. He's like, oh, you're a villain? Pop. You're gone.
Yeah, exactly. There's like, you know, there's not, the lines aren't blurred as much for him. You know, it's like there's good, there's evil, and, you know.
There's good, there's evil, then there's a barrel of a gun.
Yeah, when I was researching the role, I watched Under the Red Hood like 5 times in like a span of a couple of weeks. I just, that movie is so fantastic. And he says at one point, like, you know, he sells guns and drugs, but not to kids and not to women.
Yeah, yeah.
But like everything else, you know, is fair game.
Yeah. That's the same scene in that movie. And if folks out there, if you guys haven't seen it, watch Under the Red Hood. It's brilliant. And it's that scene. He like throws a duffel bag on the door. I should listen to you. Throws a duffel bag on the table and they open it. Like, that's the heads of all of your lieutenants. That took me 30 minutes. Imagine what I can get done with the entire evening. It's like,
yeah, well, I think it's sort of the ideology of like, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet, you know? Yeah. So if he has to kill, to save more lives, you know, or at least even if he's killing and they're evil people or they're bad guys, to save innocent lives,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is always like, that was always frustrating for me as a kid with Batman. And I think it's frustrating with for a lot of people, like, he just won't do what's necessary sometimes to make sure that innocent lives aren't lost. You know, like, he'll never kill the Joker, you know?
Except in Titans or the TV show, but...
Right. So the Batman I grew up with, like you know, he just won't do it.
Yeah.
Even if it means, you know, that other people will die, because he can't cross that line, you know? I actually rewatched the pilot of Batman Beyond the other day, and I forgot, because the last time I watched that, I was, I don't know, 10?
Yeah.
When did that show come out?
Ooh, that was 90s, I think?
Yeah.
I grew up on it, too.
Yeah, and so, like, the pilot of that episode, it begins with Batman, like, almost shoots a guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, nope, I'm retiring.
Yeah, like, that's it?
He almost breaks that code, and it makes him retire.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, yeah, like, it really, like Howard Conroy as an actor, who captured that in his voice, and was able to portray that in the animation where they showed it, too. Like, it really broke your heart, and you're like, this is episode one! What is a show?
I know, and, you know, Conroy, like, it's so cool that he's gotten to play that character for so long, but it's also such a cool experience for us because, you know, he's played young Batman and he's played old Batman,
yeah.
But he's actually gotten to experience that because he's been doing it for 30 years, you know?
That's true. You kind of age with the character because, like, you're playing older Batman.
Fair enough.
Dude, I mean, that was one of the most surreal things for me is, like, I've now, you know, played Red Hood to Kevin Conroy's Batman a couple of times. We've never actually met. We've never actually done a scene together, but we're talking to each other,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
So when I watch footage from the games, like, I say a line, and then he responds, and then I respond to him, you know?
See, like, I did it!
Like,
and I say somewhat, I act with Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, there's one line in Injustice where he says, I'm the hero Gotham needs. And I say, then I'm the one it deserves, right?
Yeah.
Or he says another one where he says, I say, I am vengeance. And he says, I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those dialogues.
Just like, you know, cool.
Yeah. Oh, my God,
cool.
Yeah. God, yeah. That's, well, your character, like, that's one thing with it, is you get to do a Kevin Conroy, but then your character gets to interact with, like, so many other people. It's like, I'd cry, be like, oh, my God, all right, Red Hood's interacting with Ninja Turtles.
Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, that one is weird because I didn't know all the characters that were coming out, right? So, like, Red Hood was the first DLC character. And originally when I booked it, it was a much bigger role. So I booked it in February of 2016, I think.
Oh, shit.
And they were like, you know, you have to shave your beard. It's going to be like a facial recognition thing.
What?
He's going to be a big part of the story mode. And then they, like, hit my email, I mean, my agent back, and we're like, hey, so put a hold on that for now because we're working out some stuff. And then I didn't hear from them for, like, until, I think, September of that year.
Ooh.
And they're like, hey, okay, come back in. The character's changed a little bit. And I remember, like, my audition sides for that were still in the game, but they were said by Deadshot.
Oh, ooh.
So they switched it up. So I think originally the character was going to be in the, I mean, I know he was going to be in the story mode and probably going to have, like, some, like, killer scenes with Batman, especially because it seems that he was on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on the, he would have been on, like, Brainiac side with Gorilla Grodd. Oh, that would have been fucking nuts.
With Gorilla Grodd, yeah. So I don't know.
Man.
That was kind of a bummer, but it was it was still dope getting to play that role in that capacity. Cause, like, I have an action figure. I bought an action figure on Amazon that doesn't arrive till, like, late in April, like April 25th or something.
Oh,
but I don't have any action figures of, like, all these, you know, cool characters I've gotten to play. I haven't really gotten, like, an action figure. So Red Hood, believe it or not, is going to be the first one.
What? Oh, what? I meant actually talking about that. Because is it like a Hot Toys kind of company sort of thing? Because I saw it when I was Googling pictures of Red Hood for like promotional pieces and stuff like that.
I don't know. I had like an alert because I guess I looked up some sort of Red Hood something, and I got an email. It was like, hey, you might like this from Amazon. And I was like, yes, I do want that.
It's me, so I'm definitely taking it.
I definitely want that. I want that for my collection.
Yeah, that's surprising me that you have no figures, because I often hear from people who are like, oh, yeah, DC, open their vault. I got to take whatever. And they're like, for you? You got Amazon.
No, I mean, I have some stuff. Like, you know, from some of the stuff I did when I was a kid. Like, I did a bunch of animated series when I was a kid, and they have, like, kids' toys, right? So, like, you know, stuffed animals and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, like, I had, excuse me, I had all the Batman and Spider-Man figurines that were, like, poseable, you know? And, like real action figures that you can play with and they won't break, you know? And I had them from, like, Batman and Robin and Batman Forever. And then, but also Batman the Animated Series and Batman Beyond, and then, like, you know, all the different Spider-Man ones. So those are the ones I really wanted. I don't think this one is, like, a real action figure. I think it's just, like, a little figurine. But still, I'll take it.
Yeah, like, it's a view. Yeah, like it's a character you play. To have that just sit on a shelf or something like that. It'd be like, or even, like, play some fun Instagram pictures. That seems to be the new thing. That's pretty damn cool.
I mean, you know this, but, like, the novelty never wears off. Like, it never wears off because there's always something new. You know, it's like, it's the same feeling as like your first time on a set or your first time going, you know, getting a trailer or, you know, your first time doing, you know, a video game or your first time doing a show. You know, there's always like new firsts. And the novelty is always the same for me. You know, it's always that type of excitement. Because, like, there's always a new tier that you can get to. And I'm at the beginning of my journey. You know, 25 years as an actor, like, I'm still experiencing, like, a lot of firsts.
That's
the great thing about this, you know, especially voiceover, you know, and that community is that I'm not unique in that way. Like, it seems like everybody I work with still kind of can't believe that they get to do this. You know?
Yeah, which is an amazing. I feel that every time I work on a film set, it's a crew or acting or directing or writing, or just even those things that get me kind of giddy is, you know, you wake up and you get that thing from your agent saying, because I get it from agents every couple days, they're like, oh, here's an audition thing for you. Cool! Like, that's just amazing. To, like, wake up and, like, that's the first thing you see. It's a fun life. And it's.
I remember talking back in like 2010, I think. I took these classes with Richard Horvitz, who's a really successful voice actor, and he was also a kid actor. And I remember talking to him about like the thrill of getting auditions, which I feel like, you know, for people that have been in the industry a long time, like that gets lost a little bit because it becomes almost
natural.
Like. Natural. What?
Yeah, like natural sort of thing. You're like, oh, another one. Okay,
going to do it. I mean, I would go a step further and say, like, it becomes, like, mundane. Like, oh, I got to do the audition to book the role. But what I really want to do is book the role. And then I get to have fun. As opposed to, like, dude, I just auditioned for a character, like, a prolific character. And whether I book it or not, like, the audition was dope.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I've
gotten to audition for Batman. I've gotten to audition for Superman. I've gotten to audition for, and I didn't book those. But the experience of being able to, like, have the lines in front of me and know that someone on the other side is listening to me and my portrayal of Batman is, like, fantastic all on its own, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. You can say that you auditioned for these characters. You know, you can be like, I auditioned. Like, oh, I didn't play him, but I auditioned.
You sign NDAs and, you know, but I didn't say the projects that I auditioned for.
Exactly. That's how you get away with it.
Yeah. And, like, you know, there are some characters I've auditioned for 50 times and never booked, so I probably won't say those characters.
No.
That's a little painful.
Yeah. I mean, shit. I'm with you, man. I just did, I think, two days ago.
I had a callback for this play, and I can't say what.
That's much I'll say about it. But they said, okay, here's a few. We want you to do a few lines in front of the record. I'm like, okay, yeah, as usual. And we did the few lines. Like, okay, you're doing really good. We want you to do combat training next. Like, what?
Like, what?
And so we did fist-hand on-stage combat and throwing people down to the ground. And they're like, okay, we're moving on the sword play. Here's some dull-down sword. Now you're going to train a sword. I'm like, what kind of callback is this? This is amazing.
This is amazing. Yikes. But that's cool, man. Like, you know, I feel like for a lot of people, myself included, like, that would be extremely intimidating.
It was. Oh, yeah.
So to go in there and with... you know, a fun attitude and just, you know, go roll with whatever they throw at you is admirable.
Which it was me they were throwing a couple times too. The guy might have been short training us, but he could lift like 210-pound me. I gave him full credit.
Well, that's one of the things that, like, that's why I'm so grateful to, you know, my family for letting me get into it young. Because you don't have those fears and you don't have those, like, hang-ups when you're a kid. You just sort of just play pretend and do whatever they throw out there. Yeah. You know, you don't think like, oh, no, I don't want to look silly. Or, no, I'm not good at that yet. I don't really want to do that yet because I'm not the best at it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You just sort of do it because you don't have that experience to tell you that you looked silly before doing that. Or that you're... you know, you've done something that you're not proficient at yet and you look stupid or whatever.
Exactly.
You know?
You give no shit.
That definitely, you know, helped me as I got older, because when I was in my teenage years, I got into that position of, like, I'd show up at a callback and they'd ask me to do something and I was like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Ooh.
You know? And then, you know, when I got into my 20s, I kind of put that away again. It was like, you know, had to rediscover what was so fun about the world, you know, that I had chosen as my profession, and why I got into it in the first place, and why I had so much fun doing it as a kid, you know? Because once you lose that fun aspect of it, you're not going to work anyway.
No.
So if you're not having fun, they can hear it.
Oh, yeah.
They can see it, you know?
You can hear it, you have to have fun, especially in this business. Everyone listening, you have to have it, because if you don't, it shows in whatever job you have in it, actor, crew,
well,
whatever.
Hard. I mean, it's hard, because you have to kind of be in a privileged position anyway, you know, to have fun, because you have to be in a position where you're not worried about, you know, for your audition or callback, you know, where your rent doesn't rest on it, you know, or, you know, your parents being proud of you doesn't rest. You know what I mean? Like you have to already be in a position of privilege for it to be that easy, where you can just go and show up and have fun and then put it away and not worry about it ever again. I'm the type of a person, and I don't know if this is ever going to change, and I don't know if I hope it does or not, but, like, after I do a job, shamelessly, I will watch it over and over again, you know, when it comes out. And, like, shamelessly tell everyone I meet about it. And, like, you know, I'm not the type of person that goes and does, you know, a session at a video game or a session of an animated show and then forgets until it comes back, until it comes out. And it's like, oh, right, I did do that. What did I do on that? I know exactly what I did.
Which is amazing.
Which is amazing.
I mean, it kind of shows you work a lot. But it's also...
it doesn't matter what it is. It could be an audiobook or it could be a commercial. I don't care. Like, I never forget. I enjoy the experience and I do my best when I'm there. But then I don't really put it down. I think about it afterwards. And maybe that's detrimental to my mental health, you know, because I'm bemoaning like certain choices I made. But it also kind of works hand in hand with that awe of being in the business, you know?
It's true. That also happens. It's nice to be like, oh, that's right, I did that. And, like, you could be, like, down in the dumps, thinking back what happened. And then, oh, this thing came out. Oh, that's right. Oh, shit. And then you're just going right back into it. You're getting pumped for it. You know, it could be all this sort of stuff for it.
Just
reignites
it. A couple months before, you know, because I'm like, oh, I bet this is coming out soon.
Yeah, that's true. You know way before everyone else.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And that's the other thing is, like, on camera, you know, you shoot something, and then a couple weeks later, a couple, you know, maybe a month later, it's out.
Yeah.
You know, if it's television.
Yeah.
Movies are a little bit longer. With animation and video games, it takes so long. It takes, like, 2 years.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
It's why, like...
I remember, like, Young Justice, like, they haven't even finished... They finished all the recording, but they haven't finished all the episodes for season 3 yet. You know, like, I think they're on, like...
Yeah.
I think they have, like, 21 episodes in the can fully. And so... I have no info about whether it's been picked up for a season 4, but as a fan, I'm hoping they pick it up soon, because I don't want to wait another 2 years.
No! Like, 2 years? It waited a lot longer than 2 years, Kent. Well, it was 2 years in your mind, but for your life.
No, what I mean is, like, we found out that Young Justice got picked up for a third season November, you know, someday in November of 2017.
Ooh.
And here we are, and we're not going to get the season, you know, the season finale until sometime in July, I think, right?
I think so. Cause
2019.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's insane.
That's crazy. And so if they don't pick it up soon, like, we're going to have to wait another year and a half, 2 years.
I know, and I'm like, no, you're not, well, you know what, though? The fanfare. I've been one of those fans who've been like, bring that shit back. Come on.
I mean, I was right there with you. I was just more cynical than you guys were.
That's true. You're like walking in the room, shutting the door. Listen, bring it back.
Well, I remember I was working with this guy for a while, and then he told me that he was a big fan of Young Justice.
Hmm.
And he was like, yeah, I went home and, like, you know, looked you up on IMDb, and he was like, I saw that you did this show, and I was a huge fan. He's like, is there a chance that they're going to bring it back? And I said, no.
Oh, shit.
I was like, I don't think so. I mean, it was cool for what it was, but they don't do that. They don't bring back shows, especially shows that had, like, an adult audience, you know. And so when it got brought back, I was so dumbfounded, and it kind of opened up my world to, like, anything's possible, I guess.
Yeah, this is like, it could be years of cancellation. Nope, it's back.
I mean, and now, dude, I mean, like, obviously, like, they brought back Roseanne, they brought back Will and Grace, these are big shows, but they're bringing back Animaniacs, and they're bringing back, so I feel like, you know, they could bring back Static Shock. They could bring back Batman Beyond, you know? Like,
oh, shit, you're peeling my heart so much.
So much.
I mean, you know, who cares if it's been 20 years? They'll do it if they feel like there's enough fan support behind it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm one of those kids that's, like, signing petitions online because I'm like, I want more episodes of Batman.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah, like, right? He works in there, doesn't he? It's like, yeah, he's still signing. He's just like you. He wants it back.
Yeah, and they still sound the same, these actors.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. They can still do it. It'll be like no time has passed at all. Whereas with on-camera stuff, if you tried to bring back a show from 20 years ago, you have to change the plot.
Yeah.
We could literally pick up from the same place we were at with Batman Beyond and with Batman the Animated Series and with Static Shock, because these voice actors can still do it in the same voice.
All right, you got to lead this petition here for Static Shock and Batman Beyond back.
Oh, there's already petitions. There's already...
What? There is?
There's already quite a few campaigns to try to get these shows. Because the other thing is, like, we saw it happen with DC Universe. Mm-hmm. You know, DC now has the format to do it on its own, as opposed to, like, oh, we got to pitch it to Cartoon Network. So... everyone's kind of like, okay, well, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. You saw what we did with Young Justice, where, like, the site crashed when the first episode premiered.
It did.
And it was the number one streaming show for, like, a couple weeks in January. Like, the number one original, it beat out, like, Stranger Things and Black Mirror and Marvelous Miss Maisel and all these shows that are winning Emmys and, you know, this cartoon that people thought, like, was for kids, and, you know, Cartoon Network didn't like, the fans, you know, were able to kind of not only bring it back, but then actually showed up for it.
Yeah,
know?
Oh yeah, and
yeah. Oh, yeah.
That should immediately be season 4 material. Just right there.
I know, and as a fan, like, because essentially, like, you know, you saw the first, have you seen the first half of season 3?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When they were coming out, like, every week I'm like, new episode.
Well, I didn't know. It's not like they send you the scripts when you're not in an episode. So, I didn't know what was happening the first 7 weeks.
What?
You know? So when I watched it, when I went in to record episode, I think it was in episode 8, right? Uh-huh. I think it was in episode 8. So when I went in to record episode 8, they, like, gave me, you know, like, a quick rundown of what Tim has been doing and why he hadn't been in the first 7 episodes. Or he had been in it, but he didn't say anything. Mm. But like, it's not like they told me all the storylines. So when I'm watching the first 7 episodes, I'm right there with everybody else. We're just learning this stuff for the first time, you know?
That's got to be amazing.
So much more than season 2, I feel like I've become a bigger fan of the show, separate from my involvement with the show, you know?
Yeah, okay. I like it. So you're more on the fan side this side around the thing.
I mean, at least more so than the first and second season. I didn't watch the first season independently. I watched it after I booked the show.
Okay. Well, maybe it makes sense.
So I always had kind of that relationship with, oh, I'm on this show, and, you know, but it's also a good show, you know? Whereas there was so much time in between this time, and then there was so much time after we recorded that by the time the series came out, there was so much anticipation that I felt way more like just a fan of the show by the time the show came out. Because I'd gotten, through people that I talked to, people that were fans of the show that I've met since then. I mean, guys like you or people I've met at conventions and stuff like that. But then also like friends of mine that were fans of the show independently from me, you know? That by the time the show came out, I was excited for it as a fan, just as much because I was on the show, then it was also just a great show.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's got to be amazing that your friends are like, oh, yeah, like, hey, it's we were kind of fans on that show. Can you tell us anything? And you're like, what?
No, and the great thing is because I don't know anything.
Yeah, that's true. You're the NDAs.
Besides, it's cool to know stuff before other people, but it's also kind of cool to experience it along with everybody else.
Yeah.
Because the show was written so well, especially the third season. I think they did such a good job with this first arc and having stuff pay off. And I won't give away any spoilers because I have no idea people who are listening if they've seen it or not. But like with some of the stuff that they were able to get away with in season 3 because now it's on a streaming service.
Cameron, let's just say that listeners, if you're listening to this, you better watch the season. This is all spoiler alert. Enter at your own risk.
So it's not like you can just turn on the television and it's there. I mean, you gotta like buy a streaming service to watch it. So I get it that some people haven't seen it yet. Because it's not on television.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
In Canada. Plus there are people from you know, like outside of the US that don't have access to it yet.
Oh, well, those people are pirating it. I will bet money.
I hope not.
Oh, that's true. That show is actually bad.
Like my sister lives in Wisconsin and she doesn't have the streaming service. And she was like, "How do I watch it?" And I'm like, "You wait.
What?
Wait until I figure out a way for you to watch it.
Oh,
figure out a way to watch it."
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's like, oh man. Well, I figured they give you a streaming service.
That's how it got big back up. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, like, yes, like obviously they saw the outpouring of fan support with like the petitions and people buying the DVDs, but you know, people actually like went on Netflix and streamed it. They were able to see the numbers on that and think, oh, I guess people will watch this show if we get a new episode.
And it ties into the fact you were just talking about that they do get away with a little bit of stuff on season three because I've noticed that they really up the ante on the mature level, we'll say here. And I love it because they know, they're like, all these fans, they're kind of grown up if they were kids at the time watching this. So let's kind of target them a little bit. Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, they said before the series even came out, like, it deals with human trafficking.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's a dark subject.
Major. And there's kids dying. And it's like, what is happening?
There's kids dying, and there's one character that you know, is like a beloved character that's constantly dying.
It's true. Brutally.
In gruesome ways. I mean,
you see her flesh. Oh, you see the character's flesh.
Like, yeah. Man, how good is she?
Oh.
My gosh. Oh. And she plays like a bunch of different characters.
It's true. Oh my God, it's true.
I've never met her or been aware of her work before this show. And she's on everything now. And, gosh, she's so talented. It's crazy. And she's, like, the nicest person. And I feel so grateful that, like, this show gave me the opportunity to meet her. Because it's, like, I would be a fan on my own.
Yeah.
You know, once this show came out, like, and, dude, Troy Baker, are you kidding me?
It's true. It's true. He's amazing.
I've been a fan of Troy Baker for so long.
Oh, yeah.
And I've worked on projects that he's worked on. But I've never gotten to meet him, and I met him briefly, like, so briefly. But he was so nice to me, and I was like, you know, regardless of on-camera or theater or voiceover, like, you're one of my favorite actors ever, and I've you know, consumed more of your entertainment than I have of, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like a really acclaimed actor. You know, like, because he's done so many hours of video games that I've played, you know,
it's true.
I've heard his voice more than I've heard a lot of people's voices.
Than my own mother!
And it's crazy. I mean, like, I can't believe that, like, not only did I get to meet him, but, like, we worked on the same project.
That's amazing. That is truly amazing,
truly
man.
Truly amazing.
Because he's like a god in
here. It's very surreal, because, like, obviously, this is a show that people respect and want to be a part of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm grateful for my small part that I'm involved in, you know? Yeah, dude, I got, like, when I got the call that I was actually involved in season 3, because I didn't know. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe, even, you know, maybe Robin's off doing something the entire time. Or maybe, you know, they brought in a different... Just like with season 2, you know, maybe Robin grew up.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And
it's like, or he's dead.
Robin stuff, and they got somebody else in there.
Yeah.
It was emotional. I was at my buddy's rehearsal dinner for his wedding when I got the email that they wanted me to come back for season 3, and I, like, excused myself and went outside and, you know, had a little emotional fit, and then went back inside, you know, and finished the rehearsal dinner.
Was it a whole lot of, like, yes, yes.
I mean, there, you know, there was a lot of emotion wrapped in up because while it was such a long time in between season 2 and season 3, this show was like, I don't want to say it was like, I don't know how to put it, because I've gotten to do a lot of cool things in my career, and I've lucked into certain things. Some of them have been straight offers. I've worked really hard for certain things. I've had to overcome certain things. But Young Justice in particular felt like the culmination of a lot of hard work and a lot of preparation and a lot of introspective work on my part. Because Tim is very similar to how I was when I was 15. And so the fact that I get to go back to it, or that, you know, and who knows, maybe this will be the last season. I expect not, but...
Don't jinx it.
The fact that I was able to go back to the character, specifically with Greg, you know, like, it wasn't just playing Tim Drake again in insert movie or, you know, video game here. Like, the fact I got to play Tim in Young Justice again was so surreal to me, because it felt like revisiting a time in my life that was so great, you know, that was so fulfilling creatively, you know?
You went back in time to a childhood you, and you got to step into shoes again.
Not just 2011 when we were recording, but, like, 15-year-old Cam.
Yeah.
And also, like, remembering just how much I wanted that role, you know? Just how much I wanted to be in that room with those people. And then I got to do it. And then it was over before it even, you know, like, season 2 felt like it was a flash, man. And so the fact that they, like, invited me back was so, so cool.
It's true. It's got to be just mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing.
Well, and there was a time, definitely, where I, you know, saw that they were recording, and I was like, I haven't heard anything.
Ooh,
you know, like,
that's tough. That's rough.
So, like, I had no idea whether I was going to be back or not.
Yeah, that's
and,
a scary
like,
time.
You know, the worst parts of me were like, did I get replaced? You know?
Yeah, you get paranoid.
Paranoid.
It sits in, you're like, oh shit. Like, oh, shit.
Well, typically, like, I'm pretty good about all this stuff. I've been through, you know, the ups and the downs of this business, and I realize that some things are business decisions and some things. But for whatever reason, this show kind of lives in a different part of my body, you know, where, like, I'm so emotionally attached to it that it was an experience, definitely, when I,
well, yeah.
when I got the news that I was allowed to come back.
Oh,
I was invited back to play, you know?
Young Justice, man,
playing Tim, I think,
is one of those, because I have him in the career I've done, like, just for working, like, 2 years now. But the career stuff that I've done, there's certain things that stick. Like, you do things that, like, yeah, cool, this is fun. It means a lot. But then there's certain things that stick in your heart that you always go back to in your mind and you always think of. And I think Tim is one of those for you, even from the sounds of it. Like, he's just one of those.
Definitely, dude. I mean, you know, I was doing some tax stuff the other day.
Okay.
So I had to go back and look at other taxes. And, like, I was talking to my dad about, like, just how fortunate I was to work so much over, you know, over the first, like, 15 years of my career.
Hmm.
Like, just how fortunate I was before I was even an adult, you know, to, like, to have all those opportunities and how cool it was and how many different characters I got to play and how many different positions I was in, you know, to travel around and work with cool actors and work with cool directors and work, you know, do cool roles. And I, it like dawned on me how special it is when you do have that connection with a character.
Mm.
Because I started out as like play pretend, you know, you're a kid, you just want to have fun all the time. And this was an outlet for that fun. Then it got a little bit more serious when I, you know, became a teenager and I wanted to do certain things and I wanted to achieve certain things in my career and get certain accolades. And then I sort of stepped back and stopped pursuing on camera and just went into voiceover. And you don't have that emotional connection with every character. While the preparation might be the same for every character, you don't have that connection that feels so intertwined with who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And I found that, like, my best work is when the character is me, you know, Cam, if I'd grown up as that character. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, Tim is not Cam.
No.
But if I had grown up with his life and grown up, you know, and experienced taking a job because my predecessor was killed, you know,
okay.
How would that affect me? You know, and so I really did all that. You know, I felt compelled to do all of that work before taking on Tim.
Mm.
And that passion for it doesn't necessarily go away just because the show ends, you know?
Well, yeah, it's always funny.
It's always funny.
Yeah, and so being invited back and getting to step back into that felt like putting on, you know, a coat that I, you know, was like a really comfortable coat.
Yeah. Or
even
a cape.
Even uncomfortable, but like I really enjoyed wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's man, it's amazing that you found that role.
Because
some people will go their entire careers without finding it and finding that like job or whatever.
I mean, like that's not just me. Like I definitely don't think that the only reason why I got Tim was because I'm like the best actor in the world. You know, I think that I had already worked with Jamie Thomason, and so that was, you know,
amazing.
A thing that I'm grateful for, that, like, he gave me an opportunity and was like, oh, what about Cam Bowen for this role? You know, my agents that I've been with my entire career, the fact that they were able to make that connection and get me in for that audition, the fact that, like, I don't know, man, I didn't have strep throat that day.
Got lucky.
Like, so many things could have happened to keep me from that role.
Yeah.
And the hundreds of other roles I've been, you know, fortunate enough to play. And so anytime something like this happens, I just kind of want to take a second look at it and realize that as good as I think I am, you know?
Yeah, it's like...
as hard as I try and as talented as I might think I am, there are lots of other people that could have played Tim. And so I'm very grateful that it landed on me for that one.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. There's I'm drawing a blank on his name. Why am I drawing a blank on his name? He's Pinky from Pink in the Brain. Rob Paulson. I listen to his show that he does. And he always says it is. Oh, brilliant! It's absolutely brilliant. Talking Tunes, folks. Yeah.
Is
you're always replaceable.
You're always replaceable
as an actor, which is true.
Which is true. I mean, it is and it isn't. I mean, like. I know that, like. I mean, look. Something just came out where, like, they're redoing Scooby-Doo, and Will Forte is gonna play Fred.
Huh.
And then. Or Will Forte is going to play Shaggy? I don't remember. Something they're like replacing the voice of Shaggy.
Oh, it's Shaggy. I think it's the one.
Yeah, so up until Matthew Lillard came on, it was Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
And then Casey Kasem retired and, like, handpicked Matthew Lillard. And it's been Matthew Lillard since. And, yeah, you're replaceable. But, like, people are voicing their displeasure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
With the fact that they're switching up the role. And I can see both sides of that. Like, you want to get a new interpretation. You want actors to get, you know, different actors to get a shot at different iconic roles. And, like, you know, Tim has been played a lot of times before I took a crack at him. Red Hood was played by Jensen Ackles and Troy Baker, you know, before, like, iconic actors.
Just a bit.
I got a shot at him. And I've gotten my fair share of tweets of people being like, wow, that really should have been Jensen again, you know, or that should have been Troy again.
Yeah.
But then I've also gotten tweets, like nice tweets of like, wow, I really liked your interpretation of that, you know?
Yeah.
So you are always replaceable. However, like, I find I can't really think like that. Like, it's not necessarily that I'm replaceable and that I'm always going to, you know, that I could lose my job at any minute, but just that to be grateful that I'm at the place at that time getting the opportunity to do that role, you know?
Yeah.
It's more of like a forethought than it is like an afterthought, you know? Like, to just be aware of the fact that, like, this is – whatever might come along with it, this is exactly where I want to be at this time, you know? And that's really special. That's really, really special. A lot of my peers don't get that chance.
No,
you know,
people that are rare.
Just as, if not more talented than I am, don't get that opportunity to be in that position.
No, in a position you get is rare.
To be what they want to, you know, to be doing exactly what they want to be doing at that time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And to be able to bomb and find that job, that part that just speaks to you, that shows to you. It is rare. Like, I went to, believe it or not, it was like a month after a conversation that we did. I actually went to voiceover school over here in Arizona for 7 months, I think, every week. Oh, yeah, taught by Marla Finch, who did one of the voices of Velma and Scooby-Doo.
Very cool.
Amazing woman. She taught me a lot, and she did say, she is like, you guys are going to get in this business, and she's dirty-minded, but fun as hell. And she would say, like, you guys are in this business, and then you will find, every now and then, you'll find a spark part that speaks to you. And go for it. And don't give up on it.
And don't give up on it.
And keep going for it, you know? Have that hope that you get it back, and then give everything you got in it. Because it will show to the people on the other side of the glass.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so much of acting is tough because it's hard to do it on your own.
Yeah.
It's hard, man. It's not like painting or like singing. You know, like, there's only so much you can do without other people's help, you know, without, like, someone to act with, or someone to write for you, or, you know, like, or someone to take a chance on you, you know? There's only so much introspective work and so much playing pretend you can do before you go crazy, you know? But if there's something I've learned, you know, in all these, like, two decades plus that I've been attempting this, it's that, you know, it's kind of cyclical. And that there are times when you don't get to do it as much as you want to. And then there are times where you do it so much that you get annoyed with it. You know, like you're like, oh, man, I haven't had a time off and whatever. And then you take a step back and you're like, oh, man, last year I didn't work at all. And all I wanted to do was do this. And now I'm annoyed because I have to wait an extra 25 minutes, you know?
Yeah, those times in between and, like, suck.
The perspective changes, but that there's so much work out there that if you keep pushing towards it, eventually you're going to get an opportunity that will seem to too good to be true. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's happened to me multiple times where, like, I've gotten an opportunity and I'm like, am I dreaming? Like, is this real life? You know? And then, of course, the next day I'm unemployed again and I'm like, oh, I'll never work again. You know?
Oh, God, yeah. It's filmmaking and film working in general. TV plays everything.
TV plays everything.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
And, like, I did a movie earlier this year. I did a feature.
Ooh.
And I was talking to someone. I was doing ADR for a movie that I did 2 years ago that's finally, like, finishing up. We did it in October of 2017. And it's finally finishing up. We're doing all the ADR, and I'm directing the ADR. And one of the actors was like, what have you been up to? And I was like, oh, you know, doing voice work and doing all this stuff. And she goes, have you done any more on camera? And I was like, no, I haven't. And I completely forgot that I did this, like, on-camera feature film because, like, I enjoyed my time doing it. I worked really hard. I think it came out really well. But it was like, you know, what I want in my life right now, I guess that didn't fit into it. Like,
yeah, and it's like, ah.
And then I started thinking about it later, and I'm like, wow, I'm actually really proud of that work, and I'm proud to be a part of that project, and I should be more aware of the fact that, like, that was a cool thing that I did.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just so funny, because, you know, at different times, you're aware of different things.
Mm.
And when it's slow, you're aware of how slow it is. And you're aware of how sad you are that it's so slow. And when it's busy, you're aware of how busy it is and how exhausted you are. And how, you know, you kind of wish that you had a chance to, you know, sleep in one of these mornings, you know? If I've learned one thing, it's that doesn't really go away. That there are times when you get to be doing exactly what you want to do, and it doesn't always feel that way. And there are times when you don't get to do what you want to do, and it doesn't always feel that way, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's the beauty of the piece.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know what this is?
You know what this is?
This is, like, really good advice for everyone in the film industry right now.
Well, I mean, you know, it's the toughest, what do they say? It's, like, the hardest way to make an easy dollar.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah,
because
yeah.
You would do it for free. So when they pay you to do it, you're like, hey, great.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, I would do this for free.
Oh, God, yeah.
But, you know, and what's the other thing they say is, like, the great thing about the entertainment industry is that you have a lot of time off to spend with your family. And the worst thing about the entertainment industry is that you have a lot of time off to spend with your family.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's two sides of the same coin where – you can work, I don't know, I found that as an adult, all I would really like is to work nonstop.
Yeah.
You know, is to have that, like, 9-to-5 mentality. And unless you're in, like, the top 1% of actors, that doesn't really exist. It's like, oh, you're always grinding. You're always trying to find that next gig.
Yeah, you're always hustling.
You're always going for it.
Yeah, and so I found that, you know, as someone who is in the exact same position as someone who's just getting into it and hasn't worked. Like, you know, there'll be months where I'll be in that exact same position where, like, I haven't worked and, like, I am looking for my next job. And you have to kind of get comfortable with that feeling of not knowing when you're going to work again. But know that if you work really hard and you show up to every opportunity and you know your lines and you show up on time and you've done your work so that you're comfortable with where you're at as an actor, it'll work out at some point.
It does.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
There's enough work out there.
It's
and there's
true.
Enough people that are good at, you know, there's enough people that are hungry for it that you kind of have to stay on your game. And you can't let the times when you're feeling down or when you feel like you haven't worked a lot or you feel like you're, you know, not getting enough opportunities, you can't let those kind of tear you down because the next opportunity that's going to, like, blow your life, you know, that's going to make you feel like you're dreaming is right around the corner, you
oh,
know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're not, I mean, you're absolutely
and that corner
right.
Might be a year away, but as long as you spend that year working towards it, you're going to be able to enjoy that experience fully. You know?
Yes. Oh yeah, I just got out of the funk,
and
I just recently started getting more jobs. I just got a couple things lined up going on,
and
it was a while, and
it
was that same feeling of
shit.
But it's like, oh my god, I'm never gonna work. But
here's the thing, Cameron.
Is I don't know about you, but I can't see myself doing anything else.
I know. I mean, that's the hard part about this business is like, you know, we would do it for free, but it's because we really can't envision doing anything else that makes us happy.
Yeah.
You know, as happy as this. Once you've tasted it, this is really the only thing for you.
Oh, film you is know? Oh, cinema's a drug.
Cinema's a drug.
It really
yeah,
is.
I mean, and really any type of like creative expression is, because you're reaching a point of fulfillment that's so creatively satisfying that it feels like that's all there is.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, everything else is just, like, you know, doing whatever you can to get back there.
It's true. You just want to get back.
You just want to get back.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I've definitely had different parts of my life where I've wanted to pull away, you know? And, like, I've never fully pulled away. I've always done some sort of entertainment since I was, like, 5 or 6 years old. I think I got my SAG card at 6.
Not bad.
Yeah, and of course I was extremely fortunate to have great parents that allowed me to do it as a kid. But I've definitely had times in my career where I've been like, you know what, this is too painful. Like, it's too painful. It's too painful to pursue a career in something where you are challenged every day with someone telling you you're not good enough.
Mm.
You know? But I've never been able to fully pull out of it because I always feel myself drawn back, because not only am I not good at anything else, like I can't play basketball. I'm not good at math. It's not just because of that. It's not just because I feel like it's the only thing I'm good at. It's because I feel like I'm uniquely good at it, because there is no other person that's going to come at it with my history.
Hmm.
With you know, I could be doing a British accent, but no one's gonna do like the type of British accent that I'm doing because of the history that comes along with it. You
yeah,
know,
it's true. You add your own unique factor.
No matter what you're doing, even if you're doing, you know, the only thing I really don't love doing in this industry is like voice matching, because I feel like then I'm becoming like a fully other, you know, I'm doing Philip Seymour Hoffman, not, or I guess that's a bad example, but like, like, you know, whatever the hot young actor is at this point, because I typically do like, you know, 18, 19 when I do voice matches.
Makes sense. I can
like,
see
I'm
it.
Doing, like,
I can
I'm
see it.
A full impression of them at that moment.
Yeah.
You know, there's very little of Cam left in there.
Your Cam's gone. It's been replaced.
Like, let's say they wanted you to do like, you know, let's say it was the greatest audition ever, and they were like, we want you to play the Joker, and we want you to do a different version than what we've heard before. Even if you were doing your version of Mark Hamill's Joker, it wouldn't be Mark Hamill's Joker, because you're doing it as, it's you as Mark Hamill's Joker.
Yes,
you know?
So it's a
yes.
new, it's still new.
It's still new.
Right, and so the thing that always pulls me back is like, the thing that always keeps me in this industry, and why I think I'll be in it till I die, is that no one can quite do it like I do it. And whether that's better or worse, it doesn't really matter, because it's unique to me. And so when I get an opportunity to play a brand new role, I know that that's going to exist forever. You know, that it's that inside of me, that guy's going to be there forever.
Yeah.
And then when I get to take on a role that's already been done a bunch of times very well, I know that that role, you know, my attempt at that role is going to live in me forever, you know?
Yeah. You just, like, your take on Tim, man.
That's going to be known.
It's already, like, they're like, oh, he's
known by other people. Like, yeah. Like we were talking about, you know, my relationship with that character doesn't leave me.
No.
You know? And it's therapeutic in a way. Like, my relationship with roles is so much more invigorating and satisfying than I can imagine myself doing in any other facet,
yeah.
Right? So, like, you know, I could become the world's best painter, and I just don't feel like I would have the same relationship as I would with acting, you know? Like, I could try so hard to get proficient at the drums, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think I would have the same relationship as my first love, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like,
yeah, oh, yeah, like,
it's what you're kind of feel like you're bred to do. It's a thing that affects your heart. And I often like to say, it's like, yeah, I do crew jobs and I do writing jobs. I do the podcast and stuff. But acting, almost when I do it, when I get in these roles, voiceover on screen,
is
It's almost the best therapy. It's like really good therapy for you. And it's like you, sort of bad therapy, but sort of good, because it's bad in the sense like, oh, you're escaping your own problems. Like, yes. But I'd rather play someone else.
I think it's good if you can have a good relationship with it. Yes. Because, you know, like, as long as you're not competing against yourself.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right? Like, as long as you're not competing against your old work or your future work, as long as you're living in the moment and every job is a new job, I think it's good. And I found it's, like, the best form for me because, you know, Cam could wake up and, you know, have, like, an ache in my knee or thrown out my back or whatever. But then I go into the, you know, to the booth, and that all goes away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you just get that, that energy kicks in.
It's an opportunity to go in there and feel whatever the character's feeling.
Yeah.
And not necessarily be annoyed because I got a parking ticket outside, you know?
Sounds like that's happened before.
Yeah, I mean, well, I do live in Los Angeles.
That's true. I mean, yeah, that's you parked. Parking ticket. I'm not out of my car. Parking ticket.
Yeah, exactly. And then all the intangibles that come with it, you know, the conventions and people telling you that they like your work and, you know, people tweeting you nice things and people tweeting you mean things and, like, all the different intangibles that are just kind of bonuses.
Yeah.
And, like, prizes, you know?
It's true. And I love the negative stuff because I've got negative tweets about some stuff I've been a part of. And they message me and oh, I'll message them and tweet them back. And I'm like, well, that's a good opinion. I like it. I like the criticism. I'm like, all right, fun. I'll sit and smile. Like, people be like, you're trash. Well, that's your opinion. Sucks to be you. You're the fool. But thank you.
Thank you. I don't like it. That hurts my feelings. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's I'm a rarity. I know that. Like, it's
like when anytime I have anything that comes out,
yeah,
there's always at least one comment that is not meant to be mean, but I take it harshly. And like, I've gotten better as an adult. I mean, thank God there was no Twitter or Instagram or whatever when I was a kid. I can't imagine what kids deal with nowadays.
Ooh, it's rough.
I'd say it's rough. As the years have gone on, dealing with like people saying mean things to me on the internet, because, you know, it's such an intimate part of myself that I'm showing to other people, and anytime I get something that's not a glowing review of it, that's why they say actors should never read reviews. It's impossible to do that nowadays because people have direct access to you. But no, I definitely am not mature enough yet to just brush off and be like, oh, that's your opinion. I'm like, that's your opinion, and it hurt my feelings, and it ruined my day.
I know. I'm picturing a 55-year-old Cam just sitting there, like, the hollow screen pops up, and it's, like, a thing of your, like, recent, like, any piece, like, an on-screen or VO thing, and you're just sitting there, like, he sucks, he's terrible, he's trash, or whatever they'd say.
That's never going to go away.
Yeah, you're just crying.
Everyone's going to feel like the person who did it before you did it better than you. And everyone's always going to feel like, you know, it should have been Orlando Bloom. You know, like...
Oh, God!
Or you should have done it in a different dialect. Or it should have sounded more like what I was expecting when I read the comic. You know, like...
Do you have that?
Regardless of what you do, there's always going to be somebody that thinks that it should have been done differently.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I definitely don't think of that when I'm doing it, and I definitely don't put too much stock into it after I first read it, you know, when I shed a couple of tears.
Gotta push away the tears. That'll be alright.
I've gone outside and cried in my car.
Oh, God. I can picture it, and it's so sad. It's like a sad puppy.
I know. But that's the thing, is like, one of the reasons why I think that as a kid, I was so good at this is because I think Rob Paulson, like, sums it up very perfectly when he says, you know, I get paid to do what got me in trouble when I was a kid. You know, when I was in seventh grade, right?
Yeah, it's true.
It's true. Like, one of the reasons why I'm, you know, was so successful as an actor and why I continue to be successful as an actor is also one of the reasons why, you know, why I'm so sensitive about certain things is because, you know, I have the ability to reach deep into my, you know, deep parts of myself and be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know? I go see movies and I cry during the movies. And like, you know, I when I play games, I don't like losing.
No. Oh no. Oh no.
I'm a very sensitive person. You know, like, I'm a very sensitive person that is always feeling, always. And I think that's like a superpower when it comes to acting. You know.
It's true. With reviews, I'm solid.
True. With other parts of my life.
Yeah. It's good to be emotional, Cam. Like, you have, like, that is
emotional, and it definitely is therapeutic when it comes to acting.
Oh, yeah.
It's not good to be emotional when you lose a game of chess
and you flip over the board, you know?
It's true. Or throw a controller against a wall. Damn it!
Oh, I don't play video games anymore.
Oh, really?
It ruins my day. I watch the scenes on YouTube.
That's smart.
I buy the video games that I'm in, and then, like, the most recent game that I got was a gift, and it was Red Dead Redemption. And I played it a bunch, and then I was like, this is ruining my life. Like, I'm playing this way too much, and this character doesn't have a good life.
And oh, God.
While I'm playing this, this is me. And, it, you know, I'm too sensitive for that shit.
It's not bad.
It's like, no, oh, I man. I have to be aware of, like, you know, I watched the movie Roma. I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it yet.
It's such a good movie. Mm. It's such a beautiful film. And I was in pieces during the entire movie. And I came out of it feeling like absolute crap because it affected me, like, so deeply. That being said, I can see that it's, like, a beautifully made movie with great performances, and it's directed beautifully, and yet I came out of it feeling like a mess. You know, because I spent 2 hours, you know, feeling like crap.
Like, what happened to Cam? He's taking an off day.
Yeah. But again, like, that doesn't mean it's a bad movie because it made me feel bad. Yeah. That means it's a good movie.
It's true. Always true. I gotta say this. I don't know. You can't say enough about what happens. But I will cry my eyes out. And I'm with you on the crying because, there's some stuff that touches my heart so much, and I'll just cry about it. Like, Halo's one and video game stuff, all of it. And except for reviews. Reviews, that's my, like, I'm solid on. But if anything happens like Robin in this season, I will, like, be so distraught. I'll be like, no!
Yeah. That's the crazy part is, like, Young Justice will do that to you.
Yeah.
Like, don't ever feel safe.
True!
Oh, in the second season, they killed off the fan favorite.
Oh, God.
Like, I don't know if there's a more lovable character than Wally West.
There's not. Oh, my. Shout out to my sister, Cheyenne Morgan, because I made her watch Young Justice when season two ended. Like, I made her watch it. And, like, the full season, one and two. And she's like, we got to season two, and luckily, I kept her off the internet from it. And she had no idea what happened to Wally. And so she just was going, she's like watching, and she's like, no, no. And some of those are recording of her bawling. She's like, you all suck.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, you know, and then the show went off the air for a while.
It's like double hit.
Everyone's like, wait a second. How could you possibly do that? And that's because, that's one of the reasons why I'm so grateful to be a part of this show is that they take their audience seriously, man.
Oh, God, yeah.
They give them a lot of credit to be able to deal with certain things and to be able to understand certain things and know that this is a part of life, you know?
Yeah.
But anywho.
Well, that's true. I mean, I gotta say, Young Justice means a little bit more to me than maybe some of the other viewers because the comic that's based on was my first DC comic that got me more hooked in to books. I read Iron Man 1 and 2 issues as a kid, but then when I finally started reading comics, there was Young Justice, and I read every single issue of it, and that was like my thing was that, and then to make a show? Holy shit! And it was just going nuts with it. And so, like, I have this really special connection. I'm like, this is my childhood, and it came back. Like, yes. Oh. And man, I gotta say, Cam, too. It's also, like, the inspiration, like, you are too with it, is the inspiration to be like, one day in my film, in my career, I hope to be a part of something DC. And Young Justice proves that fact. And Cam helped push that fact forward. Like, it's one of the three things.
I'm sure you will be, dude. I mean, like, you seem like someone that's a hard worker and you're good at what you do. I watched Batman the Animated Series when I was a kid, and I was already doing cool things because, I was in a position, I was in New York and, like, was able to audition for cool things, but I wasn't playing Batman.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, playing, and I still haven't played Batman, and that gives me something to hope for. But, I got to be in a show like Young Justice, and I got to do, Red Hood, along with, like, a bunch of other stuff that I never expected I would be able to do. And, like, it is not lost on me that's not a unique experience.
Hmm.
That a lot of the voice actors that I know
they weren't just on-camera actors that were like, oh, this is easy. You know what I mean? Like they were people that sought this out and are uniquely good at doing these roles.
Yeah.
You know? Like, people get into it for all different reasons. You know, there's a lot of stand-up comedians that are good at voice acting. And there's a lot of people that do, you know, can do cool, crazy things with their voices and have, like, incredible range and are good singers and all these things. But a lot of the people I talk to got into it because they watched these shows as a kid and they wanted to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
And I'm with them.
And I'm with them.
I'm with them 100% now.
So, like, those, you know, they're a glowing example that, like, it's achievable,
yeah.
You know?
So I look at you, Cam, and I look at it, and I'm like, yes. It's possible.
Thanks.
It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I don't always get to do it as much as I want to, because I don't think that that's possible. I don't think I'm ever going to get to do it as much as I want to.
Ooh, no. you never do.
You know, but that said, every time I do get to do it, I imagine high-fiving, you know, 10-year-old Cam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just hugging and be like,
listen.
We made it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. I mean, like, you know, it's a rare thing that you kind of get to do something that is so creatively gratifying, you know? And it's over, but, you know, quicker than you expect it to be. With this kind of thing. So the fact that, like, with Young Justice, that fact that we got to do it all over again and hopefully get to do it for another 6 seasons in a movie, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'd be amazing.
You know, is pretty spectacular. And, we can only hope, right?
That's it. We can only hope.
We can only hope.
Now,
yeah.
Man, I gotta say.
That being said, if anybody hasn't watched the show, that's listening to it, go watch that show so that the stats are, you know, so well that the show's done so well that they can't help but pick it up for another 10 seasons.
Exactly. And I'll be there in line for auditions for another 10 seasons.
Oh yeah, hopefully, man.
I hope.
I hope.
I mean, if the past like couple years haven't showed, like since last time we talked, then I'm gonna like ask. I re-listen to it. I'm like, I'm gonna go out there and go do it. And then, like, I look at now, and I'm like, I really started doing it.
I mean, they haven't produced any new episodes since we talked. So, like, I feel like they recorded a bunch of episodes, but I think that they probably already had everybody cast for that season before, like, when we talked.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think your first opportunity might be the 4th season. I don't know. If that ends up happening.
Yeah, I hope. I'm going to try. At least anything. You know, it's, I'm not looking for, like, Batman. No, I'm not looking for anything. And it's just one of those, like, that's just the dream to be DC.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I mean, it's out there. Go grab it.
It is. Oh, yeah, working hard every day, man. Hustling, doing them roles, doing everything. But I gotta say, Cam, we've been going at this for like an hour and 10 almost now. We have to come to a close.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I gotta use the restroom.
That works perfectly. All right, man.
I don't know if you want that on your podcast.
People like that sort of thing. It's weird.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm doing all of that with my voice.
The Academy goes to.
Yeah.
All right, man. So I just want to say, Cam is right. Check out the Young Justice, Outsiders, folks, and DC Universe streaming service. Well worth it. Make sure you check out seasons 1 and 2. Now, Cam, give a shout out to anything that's coming up that you can give her talk about.
I mean, there's like. Stuff that I can't, like, they never let me talk about anything.
Yeah, I feel it.
And I'm always nervous to even say, like, oh, I've got, you know, something coming and this month, or, you know, I've got something coming that's gonna be on television. I can't tell you what it is, so, like, I won't say anything. But I can talk about, like, I'll have a movie coming out later this year.
Ooh.
I don't know when. It's called Army of One.
Ooh.
Where I play, like, a bad guy. And I got, I worked out a lot for it, and I got the big beard, so that's cool.
Ooh, that's awesome.
And then I have another movie coming out, I think it's going to, like, film festivals. It's called, One Night in San Diego, or Two Nights in San Diego.
Hey, shit.
Something like that. Where I play, like, a Comic-Con, kind of nerdy guy.
Well, that fits.
Yeah.
Just a little
very
bit.
Very different from the, like, the biker bad guy from the other film.
Oh, yeah, that's the two same people.
Yeah. And then, what else? I don't know. There's a couple other things coming out, but I don't think I can...
All right, well, social media, man. Social like, media, just so they can play it safe. Social media.
Point, like, they're super audiobooks. Like, I can't I have a couple audiobooks out like, that are coming out in the next few months. But again, I don't know. I don't even think I'm allowed to say the titles.
Yeah, NDAs are fun, but they're terrible.
It's like, yeah, and at this point, there's so many. Like, at this point, like, every time you audition for something, there's an NDA.
Yeah.
That, like, I don't even know which ones I've signed NDAs for, so I'd rather just not even say anything.
It's true, yeah, play it safe. Keep a career.
Yeah, yeah.
Where can they find you on the social, man, so they can keep track of this?
Yeah, it's just my name, Cameron Bowen. CameronBowen on Twitter and Instagram. That's the only two that I have. I think I have a Facebook, but I don't update it.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah. It's Twitter and Instagram anyway, these days, usually.
The two biggins.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And folks out there listening right now, I definitely want to say thank you for tuning in. Cameron, it's been a blast having you on, man.
You too, man. Great to talk with you.
It is. And it's fun to catch up and everything, too. It's good to know you're doing well. And it's like, you're still emotional, but you're like a big teddy bear, and I love it.
Oh, thanks.
And I hope, and someone out there is going to draw you as a big teddy bear now. So probably fair warning.
Hopefully.
Fun fan art. Folks, make sure you guys tune in to the next episode as well, and also stay tuned for more. You can listen on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and comiccronicle.podbean.com for the Comic Chronicle podcast, and follow us at Real FanCorp on Twitter and Instagram, and FanCorp Network on Facebook, and I am at Dakota_Morgan97 on Instagram, and at DakotaMorgan3 on Twitter. So thanks again, Cam, for coming on, man. You are absolutely the best, man. And by the way, you got a shout-out. I was interviewed on a radio station the other day about working in film and podcasting, and I gave you a big shout-out.
Oh, thank you.
Of course. And they're like, who? And I'm like, let's look him up. They're like, oh.
Appreciate that, man.
Of course. Pay respect where it's due, man. And Kevin Smith and Steven Spielberg are on there for inspiration, so are you. So any final words for our audience?
I'll reiterate, like, if you, I have learned in the last couple of years, like, if you like something and you feel like you want to see more of it, support it, you know? Yeah. I was not a believer, and now I wholeheartedly am, and I feel like, you know, the things that I watch and the things that really speak to me, I support at this point, because nothing is off limits. Bring back shows if you like them. They will give you more seasons of shows if you like them. You know, your favorite, you know, comic books and stuff, they will print new issues and reorder issues, you know? Nothing is dead, it seems. Like, they can always bring...
It's true.
They can always bring characters back. They can always bring shows back. They'll do prequels, you know?
Yeah. Solo.
So, yeah, that's what I'll say is, like, they made a believer out of me with this. If you want it bad enough... they'll give you more of it.
Dude, I love it. That's a good end on. It's like, if you try hard enough, we'll come back.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, if you will it hard enough and give it enough streams on Netflix, you know, there's a couple of things I'm trying to do that with now.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah, All right, man. That's perfect to end on, folks. And as always, folks, I definitely want to say, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned for another episode. Stay classy, Gotham City.